We're sitting here with painter Terry Gardner, born and raised in Missouri and then called to Colorado to paint the outdoors and develop an intimate relationship with the land and life of the West. Gardner's compositions are born from his surroundings, but evolve in his studio to a place that is darker and deeper, where mystery and contemplation are nurtured. Gardner's work tells the story of the American West, rich yet young in scale and alive with industries and lifestyles that most tend to think of as history. Good morning, Terry. Welcome to KDNK. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit about the inside of my work.
Wonderful. So what is it about the West and its spirit that has captivated you since childhood?
A family vacation was, I think, instrumental at a young age. We went to Colorado, and I was pretty struck by the open space and the mountains, and it was just something I hadn't seen growing up in Missouri. So I think that was pretty instrumental. And I think another aspect of the West that really intrigued me was Western television and Western movies. I used to watch Gunsmoke with my father. I liked Alias, Smith and Jones, and Jeremiah Johnson was a movie that really kind of captured my interest and spirit of the West. And I think those were, at the time, you don't realize how much of an influence they have on you. But as you grow older, you just realize what you're doing as a child from even an entertainment or media perspective that's beginning to have an influence on your interest. So I think that's a little bit about what captivated my spirit as a young person.
Okay. So over the years that you've been painting, how do you see the boundaries between Western landscapes and human influence changing?
Well, I think that's an excellent question in terms of how it relates to my work, because what's really intriguing about the West is that it is so, there's so many industries and interests that pull at the heart of people in this country. I think it's both about its recreation, it's the outdoors, it's conservation, it's wildlife, it's industries such as mining and wind and gas, and all those are very relevant topics to this day. And then you think about what brought a lot of people to the West, the gold rush and the chance to homestead and have your own piece of land to farm, and the ranching and the cattle and all those industries that may have taken place or brought people westward in the 1800s, they are still very relevant to this day. And I think sometimes they feel like they're often at odds with each other. You can find sometimes that ranchers can be really instrumental in conservation and caring about the land just as much as a conservationist. And a lot of times you're seeing in current events that those industries have to come together to find a common ground so that the industries can potentially survive, but they can also help each other out in preserving land or helping each industry. And I think that's a really interesting aspect about the West. Those industries haven't gone away. They just have evolved.
Right. The evolution of Colorado. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
And it's nice that
everybody is working together to preserve this land that's so precious to us all.
Yeah, and one of the organizations I work with as a guest artist is Ranchlands, who operates multiple ranches in the West, both in Colorado and New Mexico. And they're huge ranches, but they have a vested interest in the future of ranching and making sure that they don't overgraze or really respect the native grasses and the land itself. And that is a intriguing aspect of kind of ranching and where it's going. And I will be involved in a show coming up in 2018 that has a lot to do with the future of ranching. But it has changed a great deal over the past 100 years.
Right. So your paintings depict scenes that feel so familiar to us here in Colorado, from the bristlecone pines to ranchers and cattle meeting in the open plains. And what is it about these characters that inspire you, and what inspires you to choose the subjects of your paintings?
Well, it's I like open space. I like getting out and seeing where there is both the evidence of man, sometimes not so much, but that, as we just discussed, the changing of the West, and certainly the population is growing immensely. I think it's also what influences my subject is not just being void of human presence, but how is it interacting? What's that dance between civilization and nature? And I think ranching is a big part of that, where you have this opportunity to witness brandings or these roundups and watch the cowboys and the cowgirls do a very hard and difficult job, but it's being close to nature at the same time, but witnessing an industry. Whereas when I am intrigued by trees or the bristlecone pines, which is something that's really touches my soul in terms of those trees. They are the oldest living trees on the planet, and most of my subjects for the bristlecone pines come from Bristlecone Scenic Area, which is near Alma, just south of Breckenridge. These trees have survived thousands of years, and the oldest ones are in California. There are ones in Colorado that are dated over 2,000 years old, but they've survived fires and droughts and some very difficult weather implications, but also even miners have taken some of these trees down to build mines. But they have survived, they persist, they are kind of spiritual in nature. So these subjects that I do can be very vast, but they all are part of what I like and am intrigued about is the American West. It's a very diverse land. It's got a lot of stories to tell, and that's what I try to do with my work, is make sure that there's a richer story and there's some aspect that pulls the viewer in and kind of prompts some contemplation about the actual subject depicted.
Right. You really have us thinking about where history meets the modern world, and that they're all still coexisting, of course. So do you paint for collectors or for yourself?
Well, I there's a quote by Oscar Wilde that I have on my studio wall that I think is really important for both the artist and the collector. It's his words are, a true artist takes no notice whatever of the public. The public are to him non-existent. And while that may seem like there's a bit of arrogance to it, it's really important that an artist is about truth to himself and what it is he's trying to say. And if you're a collector, you want to support an artist that's really being true and not chasing the winds of time or any kind of trends. And I really do try to paint for myself. However, never underestimate the importance of collectors and patrons of the arts when it comes to supporting artists so that they can scratch out a living. It is not an easy thing to do, but I really try to stay true to myself and just paint for myself.
Good. Well, we're so glad that you do.
Thank you.
So some of your landscapes are very much in the style of the French Barbizon painters who lived and worked in the mid-19th century, like Rousseau, Corot, Millet. Yet being an artist in this century has a new set of rules applied to the game. Tell us how you see tools like social media. Do you think social media is a blessing or a curse? And how do galleries play a role in making your art known and appreciated?
Well, the comparison to Corot and Millay, I think, is I'm humbled by that. They're masters and well respected. And while I am typically looked upon as a representational painter, I often describe myself more in the lines of a tonalist painter because of my palette. But back to that quote about Oscar Wilde and the artist really being true to himself and taking no notice whatever of the public, I think that's what's really important as an artist. And it wasn't easy for me to really come to that resolve that I can't be influenced by certain genres of painting and what's popular. There is some feedback I get and discussions where we see the younger generation looking more to abstract art, and I think it's become a little bit more heightened in its popularity. But I can't chase that if it's not what I really want to do as an artist. I have to be true to myself, and I think it's important when I'm trying to tell a story and make a connection with a viewer or a patron, I have to do what works for me, and what works for me right now is doing work that is representing a place or a space or a subject, and that's super important to me. And I'm not going to kind of veer off that course at this current time. As far as how the tools of social media, you could probably make a case that there are challenges and things that are not good, but there are things that are very good. We can all publish our work and we can get it out there and so forth. I try not to be necessarily influenced by that. Some artists are better than others at using the social media as a tool. There are pros and cons on both sides. And on your final question about galleries are super important. However, they have their challenges as well. The market has certainly changed. We've lost a lot of galleries in the past 10 years because of the online presence of artists and the ability for artists to sell directly or online galleries. But physically seeing the work is still important, making that personal connection. What I love about painting is there's texture and substance that you can see in a work of art that often you can't see online. You can't see a 4-foot by 6-foot painting and experience it the same way online that you can in a gallery. So the physical space is very important, and I hope that as we see the gallery world evolve, there's still many places for collectors to go see the actual work.
Right, it's true that when you're standing in front of these paintings, especially oil paint, to see the brush strokes and the physical texture of the paint, I mean, that's unparalleled, and it certainly can't be replicated digitally. I mean, you know, when you're looking at something on a screen versus in person, it's a whole different experience.
It is, Claire, and I think it's an important aspect. When people have asked me, do you do reproductions or giclées to make your work attainable to those that are either young collectors or those that don't have perhaps the financial means to buy a larger painting, I have refrained at this time because, first off, there's a lot of great work out there, and I do appreciate those that actually buy original work, and I try to just do a painting in itself, and that texture, that substance that you see on the actual canvas, the dripping of the paint, or it's almost the raised up brush strokes that are visible, are what make paintings more unique now than ever, because we are seeing so much work online and pixels are representing it. But what is the actual art in the end if you're just seeing it on a monitor and then it goes away briefly and then it's in a cloud somewhere for years and years to come? And I think that using the senses and the touching and seeing and feeling those works of art is super important.
So is that your favorite element of oil painting? Is that why you chose that as a medium? The ability to build up the textures and really feel, make the scene dimensional.
That is a very important aspect of it. But probably it's because I started working in oil at a young age. My father was a commercial artist, and I got a oil paint set. Yeah, one of those paint-by-number sets when I was very, very little. And it was really just kind of this bug that I caught, and it stuck with me. And I always just loved oil paints. I actually love the smell of the oil paints. I love that you're able to work with them longer than, say, an acrylic or watercolor as far as their drying time. And managing the drying time is one of the important elements of producing a piece of work. The summer, hotter temperatures, the paint dries faster, colder temperatures in the winter in the studios, paints seem to dry longer. So you kind of have to manage that. And that's part of what I love, though, is just the extended drying time and the texture and layering of paint and bringing that aspect that we discussed as far as being able to see and feel and giving it some more dimension.
So with this extended drying time, it seems like it would be even more difficult to determine when the work is finished. How do you know when it's done?
Yeah, that's an important piece that any artist would tell you is sometimes a joke, because we always say there's two people that need to do a painting, one to do the actual painting and another person to hit you upside the head when it's done so you don't overwork it. And that is a risk often that artists take with their work, is going too far and being able to step away from it when it just feels right. And I think that's the answer to the question, is you work it and you take it on this journey and you go with it on this journey, but at some point you just have to feel like this is where I'm happy with it. It's what the vision I had when I started the piece. It's what I'm trying to say, and you step away from it. I learned a great deal reading about de Kooning and how his process was painting and scraping and applying drawings that he worked on over top and all sorts of different kinds of tools. And that is part of the process. Sometimes you put colors next to each other that work, or certain textures, and you pull it back off, and it really is an interaction with your canvas as you develop a piece of work.
So what do you find you're still learning about the process?
Patience. While you can't work on pieces for forever, you do have to be patient, because a piece of work, a painting, it sometimes is like a road trip where you have one day where it's good, or the next day you have bad weather or you veer off course. But you have to just kind of be patient and trust yourself in the process, and be willing to, if it's not going the direction or what your original intentions were, you have to kind of step back or course correct. But it's the process, and being patient is one aspect of it. There's another aspect that I also think is really important, is what I call mind noise. This kind of relates to that Oscar Wilde quote about not taking any notice whatever of the public. But the mind noise is something that it doesn't matter what industry you're in, is that you have those thoughts of like, oh, what's someone so going to say about this? Is the are the collectors going to like this? Are gallery owners going to like this? So forth. And it's really just being in that zone where you block out any kind of distractions or noise and really just get into the flow of doing your painting and that process. And the time just goes by so beautifully because you're just really connected.
That's wonderful. So as a self-employed artist, you're not locked into a 9-to-5 kind of a work schedule. So what time of day are you most inspired to paint, in the studio and then outdoors?
I am in the studio pretty early in the morning. I have 3 kids. I take them to school because of my flexible schedule. So right after I take them to school, I get into the studio. It's also the best time for lighting. Natural light is important. I do a lot of color mixing and really want to check those values and the temperatures of those colors as I'm putting them on the canvas. So having good natural light is important. And when we get to this time of year, really working from like 8 to 3 is probably the best time. It starts getting dark fairly early, so you start losing that light late afternoon. You have more of a work time, longer studio time in the summer. But I definitely work during the day when I have good natural light. And when it comes to the outdoor work, it's when I get on those little 3-4 day journeys and have a chance to get away and go experience a new location in the mountains or out on the plains, or visit one of the ranches down in near Pueblo or near the sand dunes. It's again during the day, but those little times when you can get away and experience subjects firsthand are invaluable.
And what is your favorite way to capture the scene when you are outdoors on these trips?
I used to do a lot of fine air painting. However, now I've evolved to where I use drawing materials, and I do a lot of sketching, which is an important part of the process in doing painting. The plein air work, I felt sometimes like I was rushed to do this painting and you only have a window of time, whereas I just wanted to kind of have the chance with drawing to see and experience the surroundings and do more looking and feeling of what the subjects are. And that's what I do now, and I also, photography is an important part of it. However, when I get back to the studio, it's the combination of looking at the photos, looking at the drawing, and then evolving the process where I mix colors and start developing what that palette's going to be. And there's a lot of work that's done before you actually put paint to canvas.
So you don't just sit there and make the magic happen. It's nice that there's such a process, and it's all by your hand, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and charcoal, whether I'm using charcoal on location or doing further drawings in the studio with charcoal, I draw it out. I can use blending sticks and erasers and kind of move the charcoal around a little bit. And sometimes you mess them up and you throw them away, and then you do another one, and then it's like you captured what you were looking for, that ethereal quality in the scene. And that's the point where you feel like, all right, I'm ready to take this to color and develop this into a larger piece.
Well, we look forward to seeing what you have coming out. Terry, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to seeing your work at the Coors Western Art Exhibit and Sale in Denver, as well as the artist reception and opening of Winter in the West at Ancor Logos Gallery in Basalt.
Thank you, Claire. I really appreciate your time, and thanks to all your listeners.